it's a little harder getting out of bed, but it's good to see everyone here and ready to take in what the Lord has for us. Just a couple of quick announcements. Reminder, the call-in number, 717-271-0043. And also, the Passport for Purity CD sets are here. They're on the table. We're asking $36 to cover our expenses for them. In 2 weeks, we will be having a panel discussion on that. I know some have been asking about that. It'll be a good time of sharing of men that have gone through that with their sons. And so it'll be a real big help for you as you're thinking maybe of doing it with your sons. This morning, after Jason comes up, I just want to give you a little heads up. We will have a Q&A or a question, and we'll have questions. I'm not sure if we can give answers or Jason can give answers, but he'll try. And we would like to, so think about that. And our session today is retraining your brain. And the old saying goes, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But I think with the scripture and with what Jason will be sharing today, you can retrain your mind. You can retrain your brain. And I know the first time we went through this last year, it was kind of an eye-opener, some of the things that we've learned. So it's a good session. So Jason, if you'd come forward, and we'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your presence, your love. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, who is willing to come and die and sacrifice his life for our sins. And Lord, we thank you for that gift of salvation that you have given us. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for that. Lord, we just thank you for this lesson. We thank you, Lord, for the teachings that we've had already. Lord, just use it that we would be followers of you, and Lord, that we would be able to stand tall and firm in our convictions of following you in our families and in our churches and in our communities. Lord, I just pray that you would lift up Jason this morning. Lord, fill him with your spirit. Lord, just give him wisdom. Lord, give him guidance and show him the way, the words that you want him to share this morning. And Father, may we be open and receive your Holy Spirit and your word that we would go forth as better men, as followers of you, and Lord, as godly men in our families. And we just thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jay. Good morning, men. As you can see, there's no PowerPoint. So every now and then you run into some glitches, and we ran into a bit of a major glitch this morning. In fact, I'm not even supposed to be up here. So that's a bit of a glitch, okay? Retraining the brain, it is a very important lesson. I think of the lesson that we did last year, and just to give you like an illustration, the way God has created us, and we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I know there's some here who don't have driver's license, but majority of you would. Anybody remember what it was like when the first time you drove a car on the road? Okay, and so you ended up really being aware of what was going on. Now, some of us were raised on farms; we were used to driving equipment around. But first time you're out on the road, you have to be so alert and watching, and you have to learn how to coordinate. Okay, if you drive stick shift, you have to learn to coordinate everything and make it happen. But what's interesting, just think about it. After a few years, you don't even think about it, right? You get in the car and you just take off down the road and you don't even think about it. You can be thinking about anything else, but you drive without even giving a thought. That's what happens. It's the way God wired our brains. And you can apply that to just about anything. Your work, whatever you do, is after a while, something becomes so normal that you don't even think about it. You can be thinking about something else while you're doing the job at hand just because you're so used to it. Well, that's the way God wired us. And it's so awesome because that way our brains remember and it creates a brain track. And the same thing happens with our sexuality. Now, that can be a really good thing, and for the most part, it is, but it can also be a very bad thing because we learn wrong habits and we learn wrong things, and those create brain tracks as well. So what we're going to be doing, if you have your manual, we're going to be going through the book and going over the manual. But what we thought we would do also is we haven't really given a lot of time for open communication. And so just for just a short while this morning, perhaps you have some comments so far or even some questions that you would like to pose. So is there any comments or questions before we get going here? Jay has a mic and he can come around with it. And we have two mics. So anyone that just raise your hand if you'd like to make a comment or have a question. Anything like that, feel free. And I know it's sort of springing on you suddenly, so maybe what we'll do is if there's nothing immediate, we'll maybe do it at the end as well. Anyone? Comments? Questions? Anybody listening in that wants to raise their hand? No, just kidding. Okay. Anyway, we welcome all you who are listening in as well. Okay, let's look at our books. Okay, Retraining the Brain. It talks about Mark Laser, who is a former pastor, and now he lectures on sexual issues and talks about sexual addictions. And he says there are the following list are the things that are normal and there for people who are really struggling with sexual addiction. And oftentimes we would say it's not really sexual addiction. It's just we have learned some bad habits. And guess what? That's a form of addiction. And he says it's repetitive because we keep going back and doing the same thing over and over again, even though we don't want to. We make a decision. We're not going to get involved with this. You get so frustrated and disgusted, and you're not going to do this again. It's degenerative. So it just keeps, you need something a little bit worse. That's sort of the nature of sexual sin. You just need something a little bit more, and that's the whole nature of what we listened to before, as we looked at the chemical makeup of the brain. It's because our body de-emphasizes that experience simply so that we aren't on emotional and mental overload all the time. You get the excitement and the thrill of something, and the next time the excitement and thrill isn't quite as great, so you need just a little bit of a boost. The same thing is true with this. We need something a little bit stronger, a little bit nastier when it comes to pornography or a sexual experience. That's just a way of the nature of it. It's unmanageable. We find ourselves keep going back over and over again. It's medicative. In other words, I like what a counselor told me years ago who does a lot of counseling in this area. He said that whenever we are sexually stimulated, we can't feel emotional pain. That's huge. And he says that drives the whole problem of porn and masturbation and other sexual sins. It's because of the very nature of how our bodies respond to it. Isn't it interesting that we can't feel emotional pain? And it blocks it. And so it's used to medicate our pain internally. It's destructive. It will destroy us. It will simply damage us because God has wired us as sexual beings to show us the kind of relationship he wants to have with us. And we looked at that as well before. Paul says, don't you know that he who joins himself with a harlot becomes one flesh with her? He who joins himself to Christ becomes one spirit with him? And you see this connection. It is so vital for us to see that. So we had to break this destructive power. So the verses that we have just been looking at is sort of the theme of the whole year. It's in 1 Thessalonians 4. It's a call to personal purity, and Paul says it's not something he's just teaching. This is the will of God. This is his ordained purpose. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Sanctification means to be set apart for him, that you abstain from sexual immorality. You know, brothers, we need to understand that it is God's will that we stay sexually pure. And he made us, he says, we are not created for sexual immorality. It doesn't say he didn't create us for sexuality. He made every one of us as sexual beings. but he didn't make us for immorality. So it's his will that we abstain from it. And then he gives us personal responsibility that each one of us should know how to control our bodies in holiness and honor, not in passionate lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter. The concept there is defrauding. The King James would use the word defraud, and defraud means to arouse passions that are illegal to satisfy. Just had a meeting with a dating person just this week, and we talked about that, how important it was to not arouse passions that are illegal to satisfy. Young men, you need to protect your girlfriends, your fiancés from your passion. Okay, that's vitally important. He says, not in passionate lust, not like passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of all these things. Do you hear that? God will judge this. For God has not called us to impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but he disregards God, who gives us his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is placed in us, brothers, to give us direction and lead us. So as we look at this, the biggest three issues most men will need to bring under control are fantasy, thinking about sex. You know, the largest sex organ in the body is the brain. And we need to guard it. We need to guard it. And that's why this lesson is here, retraining the brain, because some of us have already contaminated our brains to think in that area and to go down that path. So it's fantasy, thinking about sex. We need to control our thoughts. We need to bring, the scripture that comes to mind is we are to bring every thought captive. It's our responsibility to not let that thought in our emotions to get us all worked up and excited. But when that thought comes, immediately grab it. We're going to talk about building an off-ramp so that we don't go down that same path that we have developed in our brains. Pornography, the writing of prostitutes. You know, back before there was the internet and back before there was the printed pornography that is so prevalent today and has been for the last many years, the prostitutes would actually make drawings that were sexually explicit. And they would post them on their windows, and they would put them in places, in public places, so that men, it would excite men. Pornography is the writing of prostitutes. And then masturbation, self-induced orgasm, alone sex. God never created us as sexual beings for alone sex. We need to be aware that all three of these have destructive potential. And it's vital for every man to know that human sexual behavior is largely a learned behavior. As a result, it can also be unlearned. I am so excited to see young men here and fathers who have brought their young men. And I'm excited for the plans of a group of young men who are planning the evening sessions on Friday evening starting in January 10th, okay? And we are excited about that. We were thinking of calling it Encourage Young Men. We probably are not going to go that right. I'm not sure what it's going to be called quite yet. But on the other hand, I want you to hear, it's for fathers to bring their sons. It's for sons to bring their fathers. But it's going to be focused on bringing younger men in so that they can learn it early. Right, brothers? Don't you wish you would have learned some of this stuff at an early age? I do. I desperately wish I would have been taught these things. And God gave us parents to teach us some of the most important things about life. And there's not much more important thing than the way God designed us as sexuality, because it is so powerful. It is so powerful. And I'm excited about that, bringing young men and fathers together. And it's open to older men too. I want you to hear that, but we're going to be focusing on youngers, okay? The brain is the hardware of human personality. The brain operates electrochemically. While the brain produces words for speaking at approximately 250 words a minute, it operates on ideas at a rate of 1,250 words per minute. It's good we can think faster than we can speak, but sometimes we speak faster than we think. The brain is receiving sensory information from all over the body at electric speed, and most of this happens unconsciously. We tend not to become aware of it until a reaction catches our attention. For example, within each of us, there's a love map. It's a things that stimulate us trigger that map. And you won't know how you got your love map, just that it has been triggered. You don't know. It's just all of a sudden, it's there. Neurochemical patterns are reacting to stimuli, producing impulses and reactions constantly. It's so fascinating how God has wired us. Our brain cells don't touch. They transmit signals to one another in a synapse by chemicals. In other words, I don't know if you ever saw pictures of your nerve endings, but the nerve endings, you'll have a nerve, it's like a telephone line, and then at the end, it's got fingers like this, and then the next one starts this way, and they don't even touch, but there's a chemical in between that the electrical impulses jump at amazing speeds. It's just phenomenal how we're designed. They transmit signals to one another across the synapse by chemicals. The brain cells live in a jelly called acetylcholine, which is the medium through which signals must pass in order to communicate. Acetylcholine locks in patterns of brain communication. It locks it in. Now we're understanding how brain patterns are created, brain pathways. Once learned, they become a track for good, for evil. And that's why we were talking about in driving. When you started driving, your brain didn't have that track. And as you drove and you developed just the natural ability to do things, we develop a brain track. And isn't it interesting, even the way we communicate in our families, I'm sure you find it this way, whether it's a young man who's single, but we develop these patterns in families, and so we just know how we're going to react and respond to each other in a family, at mealtimes. It's just we develop habits. What if we develop wrong habits? Even in those simple things, they have to be retrained. Isn't it interesting how God says that fathers are to train up their children? And that training is to develop healthy and correct pathways. And when wrong pathways are created, it's a father's responsibility to correct that. But don't you think it's wise that maybe fathers learn how to develop right brain patterns and redirect and create new brain patterns in their own lives? It's crucially important. Once a complex chain has been formed, messages run down that chain at 1,250 words a minute. The chain is a learned pattern. And when the first link in that chain is stimulated, the mind runs to the end of that chain faster than you're consciously aware of. And you can never remove a chain once it's established. It will be with you for life. That is a scary thing, brothers. We develop these patterns, and that pattern will stay there. That pattern will stay there. And I was thinking about this, and I gave this illustration last year, but we have a barn, and we have goats and sheep, and we have a chicken house, and it's a small chicken house. We're not talking commercial. This is old McDonald's farm, and there's 16 or 18 chickens out there. And when you go off our back porch, you can see the path that we take to the chicken house. You can see it. And you know, after a while, it starts wearing a groove. We also have a swing out back that the grandchildren just love to swing on. And guess what? There's a hole dug, you know, where the feet go. And you can just see that. It's just constant. And after a while, you don't really want to see that path. You'd like to let the grass grow up. Well, the only way you're going to change that is if you start walking a different pathway. And so I intentionally take different paths to the chicken house just because I don't want that solid pathway dug deeper and deeper and deeper. I think all of you know that. If you have cows or animals, you look into the pasture and you can see they have a path dug because they take that same path over and over again. Our brain does that. That's a physical illustration of what our brain does. That stays there. That stays there, and it stays there for quite a long while. A habitual chain or habit can't be undone. It can only be replaced. You must retrain a new response. And every man must accept responsibility to steward his body and his mind and his sex drive. God will not take your sexuality away. Or your sex drive. He calls you to obey. In talking with men over the years, there's very seldom I didn't run into men who are frustrated with the intensity of their sexual drive. God asks us to channel it. He asks us to know how to possess our bodies. And you know, when we, if what you stimulate grows, gets stronger. Any weightlifter knows that. If you start lifting weights, the muscles that you use get stronger. The brain, so the brain patterns that you use get deeper. They develop that pathway. And so it's so important for us to form healthy ones and right ones. And so young people, and learning it young, you can, I told my son years and years ago, I said, Jaron, you got to hate this. You got to hate it. You got to hate it. Paul says, so that sin becomes what? Exceedingly sinful. Exceedingly sinful. You got to realize that porn will eat your lunch. It'll destroy your relationships. It'll destroy your marriage. It will destroy us. It'll destroy our soul. We have to understand that. Every man must accept responsibility for his thoughts, for his behaviors, and for the renewing of his mind. Si Rogers has spent a lifetime proving that sex struggles do not have to be life-controlling and helping others discover the same. He makes the point that in his experience, men who have no relationship with God have been able to successfully retrain the neurochemical patterns in their brain. So he's saying here that even without a relationship with God, you can train this. Yet, Bible college graduates continue to struggle with unclean fantasy, pornography, and masturbation. You see, it's not a relationship with God. It's our responsibility to understand how we're wired. And to me, this is one of the awesome things about this teaching, not just today's, but the whole program of teaching, is we start understanding how God has wired us and how he's designed us physically. It's amazing. It is totally amazing. Renewing the mind is more a biological event than it is a spiritual event. Isn't that amazing? And yes, it is spiritual. It is. We have to make a covenant and a commitment. But people who have made covenants and commitments still violate the biochemical patterns, and they develop the wrong patterns. So to understand that this is a biochemical, a biological event, the Word of God is essential, but you must do what it says. And we just gave this illustration. You don't have to love Jesus to learn to drive a car. Okay. If you learn to manage the machinery, you can do it. You can drive a car without even reading the manual. You only have to act consistently by what it says will be a successful driving habit. And that's what we do. And driving is an apt analogy. That's why we were using it, for retraining the brain in its sexual responses. The more you drive, the more pathways are established that allow you to do it without thinking. And you arrive safely at your destination without consciously making decisions. You know, what's really amazing to me is I can be going somewhere, and I can be thinking totally about something else, and all of a sudden I realize I'm there. I didn't even think about it because I am so used to driving that pathway. But I've also wanted to go somewhere else, but because I didn't think about it. You ever do this? I wanted to go somewhere else, and after a while I realized I am not where I wanted to go because I drove where I always was used to driving. And then you turn around and you backtrack. Yeah. Do horses do that, Reuben? Never mind. Well, it is very different when you're trying to establish, to change an established pathway. My first experience of driving in the USA, and this is Alan because they drive, he's from Australia. And guess what they do in Australia? They drive on the wrong side of the road. He would tell us that we drive on the wrong side of the road. Anyway, my first experience of driving in the USA was truly disturbing. I ended up nearly crashing my friend's new Astro van in front of, yeah, anyway. On the third day, he actually did damage the van. He told me he did, because he pulled out and he headed down the wrong direction on the road. Yeah. My groove, he says, my groove became my enemy instead of my friend. And so he just pulled out and he went down the wrong road. He went down the wrong path. Yeah. The key is the construction of an off-ramp at the point that an unhelpful track begins. Okay, one of the most helpful messages coming out of the current research is that the biochemical abnormalities associated with addiction can be reversed through learning. Okay? Guess how you break an old habit? By developing a new habit. And to develop a new habit, they say you need to consistently do something in a new and different way for at least 30 days. Now, I'm not sure. Maybe they'll have some more information, but that's what I've been taught. You've got to practice something at least 30 days consistently to break the old habit. And then it still takes intentionality for a long time. Because once again, as we go back to some of the beginning teaching, that first pathway stays there. It stays there. But wow, now what we have to do is we need to build an off-ramp so that we're not going down that pathway, so we're taking a new path, so I can't look out the back porch window and see the path that I always take to the chicken house. I go a different way. Renewing the mind requires that we learn to obey, learn to pursue a new way of responding. And while under pressure, it demands an exercise of your will against the pattern and the action of implementing a new response. We begin learning a new response to just such a reaction early in our course when we decided to bounce the eyes. Remember that lesson? To when we see something that is inciting lust, that we learn to bounce our eyes. You can't drive down the road. You can't go to the mall. You just can hardly be anywhere. You can't be in business without customers coming in where you are going to need to bounce your eyes. So if you will not adopt a basic building block like bouncing the eyes, you'll not make progress in retraining your brain. It is more biological than spiritual. The spiritual part of it is deciding to engage in the process. You see there, I think that breaks it down really well. The spiritual part of this is us learning that it is God's will that we don't get involved with immorality, that we abstain from it. You know, it's interesting where all other sins we're to put on the armor of God and stand, but this one we're not supposed to stand against. We're supposed to flee it because it is so gripping. It is so intense. So the spiritual part is making the decision that I am going to live for God and that God will judge me if I don't step up to the plate and do things in a holy and right way and follow him. I need to understand that he's serious about this. That's why Paul puts such intentionality into this and intense teaching when we read that. And that's why Alan had chosen to make that passage one of the foundational scriptures of this whole program, this whole teaching. So, retraining your brain. Fantasies are simply thoughts that have developed a life of their own. Satan's fall was a product of unjudged fantasy. Isn't that fascinating? Because he said he was the anointed cherub. He was the greatest and the most attractive angel that God had created. He created him for a purpose. But he says, I will be like the Most High. You see, he developed a fantasy that I will be like God. Our minds move at electric speed, creating ideas. Retraining the brain requires deliberately judging thought patterns. Deliberately judging those thought patterns. When a thought is there, we do a teaching, and I used it here a couple weeks ago. When that pattern comes into our brain, it goes into our emotions, and our emotions go boom, and they react, and they respond, and they swell. And as they swell, it controls the way we think. It takes over our brain, takes over our spirit. But we are to judge that thought. We are to bring it captive, grab that thought immediately, and say, no, that is not where I'm going. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to take charge of that thought. And you bring it captive to the obedience of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. What would Jesus do with this? And you will always know when you take that thought captive and you ask that question, what would Jesus do with this? You know what the answer is. So you can choose to either push him away or you can choose to bring it captive and ask him. And you will know the answer because of the Holy Spirit lying within you and giving you a conscience that is alert to it. Until you continually ignore him and push him away and your conscience becomes seared. And that's a scary thing, brothers. That's a scary thing. Retraining the brain requires deliberately judging thought patterns, building an off-ramp, taking our thoughts to godly places. Bounce your eyes away from sexually sexually stimulating sights other than your own wife. And you know, in meeting with this young person, it was just yesterday morning, actually, we talked about that. You can't go down the road. You have to build a plan into your courtship so that you will not go down that path. Once you start defrauding, once you start touching each other incorrectly and wrongly, you start a process that is very difficult to back up and untrace. Okay. Total sexual sobriety is essential. And it says here, bounce your eyes from sexually stimulating sights other than your wife. Okay, God gave you a wife. And he gave you to her so that together you can experience this beautiful blessing of sexuality and sexual expression through God's plan. But he put it within the boundaries of marriage. And that's totally awesome. And young people, just remember that. Young men, God designed a plan for your future and a future for your sexuality, but it's within the context of marriage only. Destroy all porn in whatever form. Leave nothing. Leave nothing. Don't think, well, maybe. No. Get rid of it. Destroy it. Don't go down that path. Okay. If you have two phones, one that the church approves and one that you have tucked away, get rid of the one you've tucked away. And that's not the only answer, because the real answer is making a decision and a choice that you are going to walk with God. And you're going to walk with him before him in holiness, because he sees everything. You can hide it from everybody else except the Father. He sees absolutely everything. Starve unhelpful fantasies. Don't allow yourselves to masticate, to chew on, to meditate on those pictures that you looked at and they're in your brain. Take that thought captive. And sometimes you intentionally have to go do something else and read something else and get yourself involved with something else, because if you just lay there or sit there, it's not going to let you alone. You have to choose. Change your habits. We're going to look at that next session. Automatic negative thought, ants, must be disrupted. You just can't stop a thought. You have to decide to think something else. So how do you do that? Intersecting the beginning of a chain and building an off-ramp to a new response is the key to retraining your brain. Talk back to ants. Talk back to those automatic thought patterns, negative thoughts. You liar. Understand that it's coming from Satan, okay? He is the one who has enticed you. Everyone is enticed when they're drawn away by their own lusts, and you have allowed yourself to be open to Satan's stimulation, and now you have to talk back to it. You liar, shut your mouth, exterminate them, stamp them out, get out of here. And you got to think of something else. One simple example is how to put this into action. You feel the reaction of lust over a woman. Stop. Bless her. Look at your watch. Look at your watch. Just distract yourself. But another thing that has been helpful for me is when I see somebody who is stimulating in that way, whether I'm driving down the street or wherever I am, I pray for that person and quit looking. Okay? You say, oh, I'll look and I'll pray. No, you look away and pray. You stop the stimulation. But you pray for that person. Father, she doesn't know. She doesn't understand. She did not have somebody in her background. Or maybe she did, but she's walking down a pathway that is destructive. Father, would you bring somebody into her life? Would you bring something to call her attention to you? There's the rubber band technique. That's putting rubber band around your wrist. And when you're seeing something and you're having a hard time to distract yourself, you grab that rubber band, pull it back far. Snap. And the pain will get you to to think about something different. Real quick. Okay. So a word of balance. While therapists like Weiss see aversion techniques as useful and have patients who believe they have benefited from them, other therapists like Laser take a very different view. They're concerned about associating pain with sexual stimulation. Such therapy has the potential to become connected with all sexual arousal, both appropriate and inappropriate, which is highly undesirable. Other therapists are convinced that the best way for men to override the pleasure stimulus is to deliberately choose to do a positive act and choose positive thoughts as their means of intersecting the automatic negative thoughts. Laser would challenge men to consider why the fantasies they indulge in have developed. Fantasies don't develop randomly or without reason. They have a purpose. And here's the three purposes: to distract us from pain. We just talked about that. When you're sexually stimulated, you don't feel pain. To meet an unmet need, you know, the desire and longing to be loved. We talk about those foundations for life: belonging, love, and significance. And when those are missing, we try to find them in life, and we spend the rest of our life trying to meet those needs. But because they're not met, we oftentimes will go to something else to make us feel good, to block that, okay? Or to recast addicts' experiences of past abuse. Just thinking about a meeting that I'm coming up with a person who has just continually fallen back into a pathway of sin. You see, this is real, brothers. This is very real. This person has rededicated himself and then come out of it, and after a while, he's back into it again. And then he gets so sick of it, he pulls out again and goes to a place for help and counseling, and after a while, back in it again. And this is just a repetitive, and so that's a meeting coming up here real shortly. The first purpose we have already considered: sexual thoughts trigger the chemistry set in my head, alter my new mood. I use them to feel good, and that needs to stop. Fantasies in general are imagined situations in which deep desires get met. I see myself standing on the winner's podium, driving a sports car, being cheered by a crowd, and they reveal to us what lies deep within, the longing for fulfillment. Sexual fantasies can reveal to us that what it is we dream of as fulfillment. Rather than simply suppressing them, we need to bring them to God honestly and openly and ask yourself, what does this fantasy mean? What am I feeling? Then tell someone, including God, and get the support you need. Tell somebody. That, to me, is where an accountability partner is very helpful. Very helpful. You to find a brother, another person. It can be another young person. But to just ask them, to ask you the hard questions. How are you doing? Have you been looking at sexually stimulating pictures or anything or reading or watching anything sexually stimulating in the last, since we met before? And then you look at them and say, are you telling me the truth? Maybe it'd be better to say, are you lying to me? If you're a survivor of sexual abuse, it may be that your fantasies are a reworking of your own abuse and symbolic of the wounds you have experienced. If you're a survivor of sexual abuse, you would do well to read the section in Laser's book. I just wanted to tell you, I want to say thank you to many of you. I would get texts saying we're praying for you about the symposium, the Anabaptist Awareness for Sexual Abuse. I was so blessed to be there. I think things are being said and communication is taking place that should have a great impact on our community for the better. And I was just so blessed. So thank you for praying. Impulse patterns can be changed through cognitive therapy. Part of that therapy is talking about the process you're going through, reaffirming your commitment to change, discussing the nature of the change you need to see, and deciding what thought patterns need to be established for valiant manhood. An important part of this process is engaging in group sessions. And you know, small group here can be part of that as well. And I've heard some really positive reports. I've heard that there's been some real breakthroughs and some confessions and some just bearing your soul and asking for that accountability and trying and doing, taking the steps to break the chain of bondage. I just encourage you to continue to use small group as a tool to use to break these automatic negative thought patterns. At this point, the Bible is so vital. Tell yourself the truth. Choose thoughts that are positive and conform to the Word of God. Listen to these scriptures. These scriptures are powerful. Exodus 20, 17 says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife." Proverbs 5 says, "Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well." Isn't that interesting? Not stagnant, not contaminated, but from your own cistern, running water from your own well. May your fountain be blessed. May you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Do you think God is aware of our sexuality? That scripture ought to resolve that question once and for all. God intends for, and when we do preparing for marriage, I tell them, you know, God intends. I'll look to the young lady, and this is right before they get married. I just say, God intends for your breasts to satisfy your husband. He intends for you to enjoy each other's bodies. That's his intent. It's his plan. And this is what that scripture is saying. But Acts follows up in Acts 15. You are to abstain from sexual immorality. Romans 13, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy, but put aside the deeds of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Oh, wow. Be in God's word. Be in God's word. Make it a priority. Ephesians 5, but among you there must, and this grips me, there shouldn't even be a hint. Isn't that interesting? There should not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed. You know, in talking at the symposium, and I got to watch, I don't overdo this, but what one of the things that hit me is this, the statistics, and I used to look at the statistics, and I go, is this really accurate? Is this really accurate? So I put together a sexual abuse questionnaire, and I was thinking maybe we'd even hand it out here sometime. And you can, it's anonymous, no names, but it takes about a half a minute to fill out. And it would just be so interesting to see what the statistics would show here. And we could even give those statistics. But what has consistently come up, even at the best, the best results that I've gotten on handing out the questionnaire is 1 in 5 girls are sexually abused growing up. 1 in 5. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. I asked this at the symposium. I said, if 1 in 5 people got an illness and died from it, would that be called an epidemic? Would that be called an epidemic? It would, wouldn't it? If 1 in 5 people got AIDS, would that be an epidemic? It would be. We are dealing with an epidemic, brothers. We're dealing with an epidemic. And here it says there shouldn't even be a hint of sexual immorality. We've got to take this seriously. To protect our children, to give them tools, and we're going to be talking about that. I'm looking forward to the panel discussion on the passport to purity. We need to be very proactive in stopping this scourge. There should not be a hint of sexual morality or any kind of impurity or of greed. Because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity. And boy, some of this can grip us, men. Foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place. You know, God's people have no place telling off-color jokes. There's no room for off-color jokes. Seriously, brothers. And you know, you have to train yourself. What if you quit laughing at off-color jokes, too? I don't think we should laugh at off-color jokes. Because if we don't laugh, it would put them to shame because they go, ooh. They should know that you don't want to listen to them. Don't be deceived, dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good gift comes from him. Marriage should be honored by all, the marriage kept bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. In Hebrews 13. 1 Corinthians 6, flee sexual immorality. Revelation 21, but the cowardly, the unbelieving. Look at this, is God's judgment. The murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the lake, fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is a second death. You think God's serious about purity and holiness? Very, very, very. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, Philippians 4, 8. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Yeah, it tells you what we are to concentrate our thought processes on. And you go down through that list, and you're not going to find porn or immoral thoughts or fantasy anywhere close to that. And then meditating on God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, I appreciate so much the scripture that I memorized as a child. And I think we should start focusing on staying in the word and even memorizing portions of scripture. If we're struggling with sexual immorality, we should actually learn that scripture that's become our sort of foundational scripture. What if we would all memorize that? It is God's will that every one of us should know how to possess our bodies in purity and honor. You see, that would end up being a defense weapon against the enemy. It really is. Meditating is a powerful tool. True meditation means to mumble, to tell yourself the truth out loud. Mumble the word of God, your goal, your determination, and your commitment. The brain chemical, GABA. Gamma amino butyric acid is released in this way. Isn't it interesting that when we meditate and we do self-talk, that a chemical is released? It counteracts the acetylcholine, and it sets up a roadblock to redirect traffic at the point of a chain you need to divert from, and it takes a new path. Awesome, men. We can create new pathways in our brain. We have to start developing an off-ramp. So instead of going down that same old path, we take captive that thought. It may be tedious at first, but it will continually create a new pathway and life will get easier. So in wrap-up, disturb your automatic negative thoughts. Do something positive. Say something thought. Confront your aunt. Speak to it. Shut up. Be quiet, get out, stamp on it, deliberately speak the new thought. God's plan for my life is holiness, is purity. And then act on my new thought. Reinforce it with an action, a song, a prayer, a confirming statement. God, you designed my body for purity. My body is a temple of the living God. You chose my body to dwell in me. Refuse to act on your negative emotions. And repeat it every time your aunt resurfaces. And then maintain accountability. If you're struggling, ask for a brother to come alongside of you. If you act on this information, you're on the road to a better life. Time for small group. The questions are here. Enjoy the time together. And when I say enjoy, that doesn't mean it's something you get all excited about because it's fun. No, enjoy connecting with your brothers, knowing that it's a place where you can find accountability, you can connect. For you first-timers or those who have chosen to make this part here, up front here, first-timers, we have a new group that meets here every Tuesday morning up front here.